Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference call of our Srila Prabhupada's Leelamrita Summary Session. And as part of the summary sessions, we have with us Her Grace Padmasakhi Mataji to give the chapter summary of 60. So before handing over the call to Mataji, I would like to read the quote of Srila Prabhupada for today. It's 20th January. Yadi Varshe Maghera Sesha Dandaraja Punya Desha. This is the month of Magh. So at the end of Magh, if there is little rain, then it is to be understood that the king of that country is very pious and blessed. Mayapur, January 20, 1976. Jai. Very wonderful. So with this, I would like to hand over the call to Padmasakhi Mataji. Hare Krishna, Padmasakhi Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your precious association and time and enlightening on this chapter. So please hand over the, take over the call, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Shyam Supriya Mataji, thank you so much. And thank you, devotees, for joining the call and encouraging me. I have a little bit cough. So please bear with me. We'll start. Om Agnanatimirandasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swami Niti Namine Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Kauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sumpati Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Kaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today we are seeing summary of chapter 60. So titled as Seattle and dated September 21, 1968. So if it's 86, my date of birth 1986. So 1968. So it's a beautiful chapter. So much nice conversations, Srila Prabhupada. Very nice questions are there in this discussion. So we will get started. So why Prabhupada went to Seattle and from there, where did he go? What was the conversation? We will see. So initially, like first, why Srila Prabhupada had to visit Seattle was two of his disciples named Upendra and Gargamuni Prabhu. They started an ISKCON center and so they invited Prabhupada. They wanted Prabhupada to come. And that was the Prabhupada's method of spreading Krishna consciousness that time. Like he went to that city, stayed there, preached, and then directed his disciples, taught everything to them. And the same thing, he did it in New York, San Francisco, Montreal, Los Angeles, Boston, and everything was a great success. So now, and he used to write letters like, we want to open hundreds of centers, so many people might take this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he went, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj never mentioned him like, you go this place, that place. Like he didn't mention, he just said, just go to the West. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said like his holy names, Hare Krishna, will go to every town and every village of the world. So like how now Srila Prabhupada is going to every place. So now they chose Seattle. And Seattle have aircraft manufacturers and almost a population of 5,60,000. And there's a university, there are nice, good colleges. So they thought maybe that will be also a good place to take the movement forward. So Srila Prabhupada was invited and he's coming. So Gargamuni Prabhu was trying to find an apartment at an affordable price. And then Prabhupada arrived. He stayed in a hotel first. Before even finding an apartment, he stayed in a hotel, and from the window he has a nice view of the 600 foot tall Space Needle in the Seattle's World Fair. And then Prabhupada started sitting, and then he started playing harmonium, and he sang one Narottam Das Thakur's song. It says, like, what is it? Gauranga balita habe pulaka sharira hari hari balite nayana babe. Goes like that, and very, very beautiful meaning. Like, he's saying, when will a time come while chanting Hare Krishna, there will be tears in my eyes. And he actually, the disciples could see with what emotion Prabhupada sang. And it means, like, when the mind is completely purified, freed from material anxieties and desires, then I shall be able to understand Vrindavan and the love of Radha and Krishna. Then my spiritual life will be successful. So that's the meaning. And then Prabhupada was singing with a very deep emotion, tears, almost tears were there in his eyes. And then, so the first night he was in Seattle town, Prabhupada was, they drove him to ISKCON temple. And that was a house rented by the devotees in that suburb neighborhood. And there was a devotee carpenter named Naranarayana Prabhu. So with just $50, he converted the living room of that house to a nice temple room. There's a three-tiered altar, and the altar has nice cedar walls. And there's brass flower vases. Nice like conch shell, picture of Vishnu. In the middle shelf were, so these are on the top shelf. Middle shelf were black and white close-up of Prabhupada. Then there are some pictures of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Panchatattva. I'm coming from third, middle. And then on the top, there's a 12-inch deities of Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra. Nice golden satin dress and with beautiful jewels and garlands. And nice pictures. And now there's a description of the altar. Like there was, if you see in India, there's a picture of Krishna with the cow like this. So specifically it's mentioned, Indian picture of Gopal with his arm around calf. And then there was black and white close-ups of Srila Prabhupada's morning walk in San Francisco, then Arjuna's chariot. So a nice description of the temple. Now the altar is done, temple is done. Now the description of Vyasasana is given. So 3 feet high Vyasasana, nicely like blue velvet cushion is there, nice bolster pillows are there, golden color, and small velvet canopy is also hung on the Vyasasana. So nice. With the little budget, they did it very nicely. Now, Srila Prabhupada came, and that time Srila Prabhupada's servant's name was Kartikeya. And Srila Prabhupada had secretary, Govinda Dasi. She used to cook. So they all came, welcomed Srila Prabhupada. How they'll welcome now Guru Maharaj's, we see nice welcoming with Kirtan, flowers. And then Prabhupada passed by. So there was one newcomer that time. I think her name was Joy. Joy Fulcher. Later she is Janava Dasi or Janavi Dasi. So she also came. That was the very new. She's meeting the devotees. So everybody bowed down when Srila Prabhupada came, but she didn't, because she's very new. So she didn't bow down. And then Srila Prabhupada took the Vyasasana. Kartikeya, his secretary, adjusted the microphone and tape recorder. Everything was adjusted. And then they asked the newcomer, Joy, to put a garland on Srila Prabhupada. So, and when she put, like, she didn't place it properly, so she was doubtful. But Srila Prabhupada said, thank you very much. And so Joyful Chir says, so I sat down and she heard the lecture of Srila Prabhupada. So this Mataji is saying, but she couldn't understand Prabhupada's accent, but she felt like something is motivating, and he felt like she was somehow very impressed. And she also thought that this person was very humble, is quoting nice quotations from the scriptures, and he's always talking about his Guru Maharaj, he's soft-spoken. So she felt like he just came not to cheat her. Like somehow she liked him. And after the lecture, she raised the hand and she asked one question. She said, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami, how is that this universal presence, which is humanly inconceivable, like universal present, I cannot, at least me, I cannot conceive. then how can I understand, like, you know, how can it have the form of Radha and Krishna? So she asked that, and she was also asking, the devotees here also told me before you came that the absolute truth from my regarding, like, which is like from my regarding, I understand is impersonally called as universal presence, was actually Krishna. So they told me that that was Krishna and his concept Radharani. So how do we understand? And Srila Prabhupada just said, by his mercy. You can understand only by his mercy. You cannot make God appear to answer your doubts, just like the way you cannot make the sun rise. And she was so surprised, like awestruck by this answer, because it seems 4 months earlier, she climbed a mountain and she was sitting there all night waiting for the dawn. She just wanted to see the sun rising. And many times, like she couldn't make till the sunrise. And one day when she could make it, it was very cloudy. Though she was there, she couldn't see the sun because it was cloudy. So now when Srila Prabhupada said, like it hit her like a thunderbolt. So she's saying that, yes, as he said, we cannot make the sunrise when we want to, right? She was waiting to see, but she couldn't. So then Prabhupada, like indicating his disciples with a wave of his arm, is saying, but you know what you can do? You cannot make God appear, but you can associate with these nice boys and girls, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, eat prasadam, read my books, and then Lord will reveal everything from within your heart. So Prabhupada told her. Then after a few days, Gargamuni Prabhuji, he found a two-room apartment for Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada moved there. It was not of good standards, not very good. There were much, much better places in Seattle, but somehow they booked that room. Now Prabhupada entered with the devotees and everybody understood that the apartment is a disaster. So Prabhupada was walking everywhere, looking through the windows, and there was no sunlight. And when Prabhupada walked, that is when that there was little effulgence, and then there was litter and garbage when they walked. It was not when they looked through the window. So it was not that pleasant place. So anyone staying with Prabhupada would have to walk through his room to reach the bathroom. So it will disturb Srila Prabhupada, right? So the neighborhood was very noisy, but Prabhupada was very tolerant. And he said, when the disciples were saying like, this is not suitable, he said, it doesn't matter. He didn't complain. He said, it's okay. He placed the chadar down, he was placing it down, and he just sat down. But he did say, like, I think this is not that good place. He didn't mention, he admitted it's not nice, but he was okay. And he just asked, why have you put me in this tangan? And then, like, in this dirty place? Then Jayananda Prabhu and Naranarayana Prabhu, they were like, and Govinda Dasi Mataji, they are like, oh, Prabhupada said, like, so we should, you know, drive off. And they took an oath, like, we have to find a good place for Prabhupada to live. Then only we will come back. So now they saw a nice rental sign in one area. So they moved Srila Prabhupada there. And then Prabhupada really liked this room. There were nice tulips lining his windows, nice view through his nice lawn, nice grass. So he liked it. And then Prabhupada was laughing, saying that other place was like being in the womb of the mother. And this place is like coming into this world and seeing the light. And then he kind of chuckled. So it is well furnished. So Prabhupada kept his Radha Krishna deities in one nice, on the dresser. And every morning he would go to walk at Volunteer Park. And one day when he was walking with Jayananda Prabhu, there was a fisherman. He was catching a fish, and he caught a fish. He said, do you want, anyone want this fish for dinner? And then Prabhupada smiled and said, no, you enjoy. And Prabhupada walks a little bit forward and says, and suffer. Said, you enjoy and you suffer. So Prabhupada now, he wanted to take an advantage of the Sankirtan party in Seattle, because all these devotees, they're doing Sankirtan on the streets. So he told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, now some Tamal Krishna Prabhu that time, he said like he wanted to organize a world Sankirtan party. So they all, the women in the saris and the men in the saffron robes, they would play kartal, singing Hare Krishna, and they would give out cards with Maha Mantra. They would go on the streets, then keep on chanting, and they would tell about their small center. So the city was becoming spiritualized, and each evening, the small temple room of Lord Jagannath, Prabhupada would give a lecture, and then some guest would come, and Prabhupada would sing Govindam Adipurusham, and everybody would chant. He would at least chant half a dozen times and then begin his lecture. And then Prabhupada would say, and Prabhupada's teachings of Lord Chaitanya have been published. And then he would mention specifically that one has to read teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and we have to understand this mission through the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And he would say that we have our magazine Back to Godhead also. We are not just sentimentalists that we are simply dancing. Dancing also has a great value, that if you dance, you will feel. He would say that you dance and then you will feel. It is not crazy fellows dancing. The most intelligent persons are dancing. And he would say, like, you all can take part. All the boys and girls can take part. And Prabhupada emphasized, like, Krishna consciousness was universal. And make it very simple. You would say that the message is very simple. God is great and we are part and parcel. And you would explain very famous examples like hand is a part of the body. And when it is working as a part of the whole, it has a value. And small screw in the typewriting machine, as long as it's working as a part of the machine, it has that value. So he would say that. And he says, without Krishna, we are incomplete. And Prabhupada spoke basic Krishna consciousness for about half an hour, and then there used to be questions. So one time a young man, he asked, is there a communication that is beyond words that can vibrate reaching, like Om, like which can be understood by you, by me, my brother, and can everybody experience like that sound, dong, ong? He was like, is there anything beyond verbal? He wanted to know. Is there anything beyond verbal that can communicate amongst all of us? And Prabhupada said, yes, why not? We have Hare Krishna. And then he said, Hare Krishna, can you tell me how to talk that language all the time than English or other languages? So then Prabhupada said, when you have a piano, when you touch, it gives a sound like dung. It doesn't matter if an American is striking or an Indian or a Hindu or a Muslim. So when you touch it, it will give sound. So like that Hare Krishna is not just a Sanskrit or just for some particular people. It can be that sound can come in English or anything. Like there is no difficulty. Just like a piano, you touch the key, anybody touches, the sound will come. So anybody takes the mantra, it's the same. And then they ask about meditation. And Prabhupada says, meditation is sitting silently, but do you think that is possible? Do you think the mind is ever going to be silent? We engage our mind in, like, it gets very distracted. But rather, we teach to engage our mind in Krishna, the most beautiful, the beautiful Supreme Personality of Godhead. So mind, thinking, feeling, willing, these are the functions of the mind. You have to fix up your mind, not only on thinking of Krishna, but also for working and feeling of Krishna. That is a meditation. And someone asked, like, if a Christian by reading Bible and following Jesus' words, does he require a spiritual master? And then he says, like, a living spiritual master. So, but actually Prabhupada says, if he follows the instructions of Jesus Christ, that means he is following what Jesus Christ is saying. So where is the opportunity of being without a spiritual master? He's following Jesus Christ. And he said, like, living spiritual master, not Jesus Christ. So then he said, that is a different thing. You have to, but you have to accept when you read Bible, that means you're following the spiritual master represented by some priest or somebody coming in the line of Jesus Christ. Somebody is coming in his line. So you accept. So in any case, you follow a spiritual master. There's no question of being without spiritual master. So then they ask many different, they interpret Bible in different ways. So then Prabhupada says there cannot be any interpretation. So this is a watch. And if I say this is a spectacle, then watch should be a watch. So that's, then what is the spiritual master? So that we cannot, they cannot be pseudo spiritual masters. You should have intelligence. You must have intelligence to find out who is a real spiritual master. Otherwise, you will be cheated. And they says like, and he says like, there are thousands of Bhagavad Gita editions, but and everything is interpreted. Like if you can understand a clear passage, just like the Bible says, God said there, let there be creation, and he said like there was creation. What was the question of interpretation? God created. You cannot create. So where is the opportunity of interpretation? So Prabhupada said you have to read as it is, like Bhagavad Gita as it is, and then you will understand. So basically saying we should be intelligent, otherwise we will be cheated. And he said, yes, there was creation, and how the creation happens, this is all said in Bhagavatam. Like first there was sky, then there was sound, then he gives the sequence, like how it was explained. So he says, here is the clear statement, God created, that's all, finish. And another guest was asking, he did not feel, like he said, he doesn't like feeling subordinate to anybody. So he didn't like to bow to anybody. So he didn't bow down. And Srila Prabhupada said, you are forced to bow down to the nature forces of old age, birth, death, and disease. So you anyways are forced to bow down to these. So instead you bow down to Krishna and Krishna's representatives and you will become very happy. So the disciples were submissive, and therefore only to them could the spiritual master impart knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And he says, but some of them were so are also doubtful, and Prabhupada had to convince them with some logical arguments. So that evening when Prabhupada was discussing, when Prabhupada gave a lecture, all these questions were coming. And somebody asked, how do you logically explain the impersonalist the existence of personality of Godhead? And Prabhupada gave that sun example, the three features of sun, sunshine, sun disk, sun god. So he gives that example. And Prabhupada says, apart from Bhakti Vinod, try to understand. So actually the devotees were not satisfied. How does one explain to such an impersonalist the absolute truth logically? I was told Bhakti Vinod Thakur had such a proof. So somebody was asking. And then Prabhupada said, apart from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, try to understand from your common sense. Prabhupada explained this time at greater length. He said, he quoted Janmadyasya shlokas, and then he was explaining at a much detailed way. And often Prabhupada was simply saying, there is God and one should love God. But one student protested why love of God should come in the form of Krishna conscious movement. And he said, like, if our concern is to serve God, then why should there be a movement? So we are so much entangled and caught up in the movement, then maybe we forget about serving God. And Srila Prabhupada said, why am I serving God? This movement means I am serving God. What do you mean by serving God? If Krishna says you obey me, if Krishna is saying you obey me, and if I say you obey Krishna, that's the same thing I'm saying what Krishna said, and we are all following that. So it's a service. Where are we entangled in the movement? So we are just teaching what the God wants us to do. And the student said, yes. And he said, Krishna said, surrender to me and give up all other engagements and I shall protect you. And we are doing the same. We are not preaching. We are preaching rightly. We are not preaching wrongly. But the movement might get in the way. So the student asked, like, but the movement might get in the way of serving Krishna. So Prabhupada says it is service to Krishna, but we have to understand what Krishna wants. We are preaching the same. And then they ask, was there always a kind of movement? And Prabhupada quotes, like in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, whenever there is irreligion, I discern myself. So Prabhupada says that when they ask, like, was there a movement always? So Prabhupada is saying, the movement means God is there. He is great and we are all subordinates. So our duty is to abide by the order of the God. Then we are happy. The movement is simple. The same movement was preached by Lord Krishna. The same movement was preached by Christ. The same movement we are also preaching, simply accepting the authority or the greatness of the Lord. So he said, therefore, the movement is oldest because God is oldest, you are oldest, and your relationship with God is oldest. So there's nothing new. New is not manufactured. And he said, similarly, in winter, now winter is going, we all have colds and coughs. So Prabhupada says, in winter, we have to protect ourselves from cold. Similarly, in Kali Yuga, we have to protect ourselves by chanting Hare Krishna and understanding the God, like God realization comes from that. So we have to protect, we have to do this. And then so many youngsters came, and then they were kind of feeling uneasiness, and then chanting was going on. So then one woman, she started asking, I wish to see the proofs of afterlife. Then Prabhupada said, read Bhagavad Gita. Oh, then she said 68 volumes, and Prabhupada said, no, not 68 volumes. It's just one volume and 700 verses. You just read Gita, Bhagavatam, teachings of Chaitanya, and then you'll get all the enlightenment, and you can go do the back to Godhead also. And in the evening, it was 9 o'clock, then it was 10, then 10:30. So then they were asking, is Bhakti Yoga for everyone? Why did Krishna ask Arjuna to fight? What about Trinity? What about Christ consciousness? And then Prabhupada was answering them, and he said, yes. So Prabhupada was taking time and answering, and he said, here is, Prabhupada said, like, please take Krishna consciousness. Now it is choice. You can take it. It is good. If you don't take it, that is your misfortune. So he answered, and he ended saying this. Then the assembled guests murmured, like they were saying, no. So why don't you want to take it? Prabhupada laughed because those guests were challenging and questioning. They said, no, we don't want to take. And then Prabhupada said, we don't force on anybody. Whether Chaitanya Charitamrita says that we are placing it for your judgment. Like he said, the Mohammedans' religion, they propagated by holding a sword in one hand and Quran in the other hand. And they said, accept Quran or the sword is for you. But Krishna consciousness is not like that. We place it in front of you. We ask you to take the judgment whether you accept it or you don't accept it. So Prabhupada laughed with satisfaction. And then he asked all of them to chant Hare Krishna. And then Tamil Krishna Prabhu, that time he thought like that point he thought like Prabhupada was my complete Lord and Master. And once Prabhupada left, like he was eagerly waiting to be at Shri Prabhupada's lotus feet. And he said when Prabhupada was leaving, he would remember that Prabhupada eats a fruit and they read the peel is remaining, everybody would jump on it and then fight for it, for Prabhupada's Mahaprasadam. And like how he mentions, like they were just scraping around like the puppies. And then Prabhupada would walk and he would come, like just come back again, peek at all of them, and he would laugh, lean back, look at them, laugh, and he would think like they're really making advancement in Krishna consciousness. And then there was a famous TV show that's, I think, a local TV station. Yes. So they came and they wanted to take a footage coverage on their color TV. So they came to Prabhupada's apartment and they did interview. They saw Prabhupada playing harmonium. And then there was a woman interviewer. She came, she took, and Prabhupada spoke about his deities, Bhagavad Gita and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And this new cast actually helped, like it was telecasted in Seattle. And after that, there used to be a lot of more people coming to the temple because the message went, like there's a temple and Prabhupada gave interviews. So people started coming. They became a little famous. So when Prabhupada came to lecture the next night, the temple room was filled with 50 extra guests. But once the lecture started, they all didn't stay. They didn't show any interest. They left, and then there was just a dozen guest. And Later, two people came to Prabhupada's apartment saying that they are reporters, but actually they were not. They came and they were challenging Srila Prabhupada, and it was not like an interview, and it was like an interrogation, and they were saying like, why you are not teaching Jesus Christ is the only way. They were angry at Srila Prabhupada, and they said, why you do? And the Prabhupada said, we accept Jesus Christ as Son of God, but do you believe or not that the Jesus is only way? And Prabhupada said, do you believe that God is limited or unlimited? They said unlimited. Then Prabhupada said, then why are you limiting him by saying that there is only one way to get him? Even an ordinary man can have 20 sons. So do you mean that God can have only one son? Why are you limiting him? Within a few minutes, like, there was a big argument, loud voices, and then they had to ask him to leave. And then Prabhupada said, we may be facing some difficulties by them in future, so we have to be little cautious. Prabhupada was saying that. So before Prabhupada's arrival, Upendra Prabhu had written to Asian Department of University asking for a speaking engagement, and the professor wrote back in Sanskrit, thinking that these boys anyways don't understand Sanskrit. But Prabhupada was there. Prabhupada read everything in Sanskrit, and he replied in some Sanskrit verses he was quoting, and in English he replied, and he made Upendra only signed as if Upendra Prabhu is the one who answered. So Upendra Prabhu wrote and then submitted. So then they went to speak in different colleges, and Tamil Krishnas Prabhu spoke. Before even Prabhupada spoke, he would say like, many Swamijis are coming and cheating the public. Our spiritual master is not like that. And he said he's in complete agreement with Lord Jesus and the Bible. And he would give an introduction. And then he would say, there is a need to hear from a spiritual master like A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And as Tamal Krishna Maharaj spoke, and he would say, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Prabhu, that, and he would say that, you know, so many people now, they write about God, but they take alcohol, like they are into alcoholism. So those who are a moral failure, like who don't have moral values, it's very absurd. Like they cannot teach, these are not the people who will teach us about God, and they cannot take us back to Godhead, because they have a choice to drink or not drink, and they are doing it. So he says, our spiritual master is not like that. So basically, indirectly, he's saying like, we should not listen from those kind of people. And he's indirectly saying like, how Srila Prabhupada is a person with moral values. And then Prabhupada starts talking, and he speaks. And then Prabhupada actually, in the auditorium, he was sitting, and he was observing as Tamal Krishna Prabhu was speaking, and all the saffron robed Prabhus and Matajis, those time they that day were sitting near Prabhupada's feet. And then Prabhupada said, Om Agnanati Mirandasya. And he said, everybody in this material world is in darkness, and spiritual master comes to open our eyes with the torch of knowledge. And he says that famous story about a rat. Most of us know, but quickly we'll see, where the rat comes and talks to a saintly person saying that the rat is troubled by a cat, and then the rat becomes a cat, and the cat comes and says, I'm being troubled by a tiger. So the cat becomes a tiger, and when the tiger was when it became a tiger, the tiger started pouncing on the saint, and the saint again says curses, saying like, you become a rat again. So Srila Prabhupada says, I recently heard that very soon, in the next 100 years, people are going to live underground like rats. And he says, because of advancement, we created atomic bombs. And because of that explosion, people might die. It can kill hundreds of people. So we are going to live in that underground like rats. And he says, Daivihi Esha Gunamaya Shloka. And he says, like, if you put the nature in difficulty, so it's going to come back. And Prabhupada explained God consciousness. And he said, whether it is any religion, it doesn't matter. He explained, dharma is one characteristics for everybody. Like, ours is to serve God, to love God. That is dharma. It is like, be it Christians, Muslims, Hindus. So that is one characteristic is there in everything. And Prabhupada just took 10 minutes. He spoke all this, and he said, we have many branches in our country. Our movement is there in Germany, London. Everybody's taking part. And there is no loss or no profit. So you all can please join if you can. And he said, thank you very much. And he ended. And later Prabhupada started giving initiations to some disciples who came to join in Seattle. And then there was one lady, she's a Hatha Yoga instructor, and she started screaming. And Prabhupada said, can we talk later? Because he was in the middle of initiations, the yajna was going on. But she was screaming like, why are you sitting on a raised seat? Why others are sitting down? Why does everybody bow to you? She demanded, and she was like, do you know God is everywhere? Everybody is God. Why should we treat you? Why are they treating you like this? And Prabhupada said, like, let's chant. And the others took care of that late girl. And then Prabhupada asked, where is that girl? What was her question? After the yajna is over, Prabhupada inquired, and he asked. And then Prabhupada laughed. Did you not explain that we are bowing down not as God, but as God's representative? Did you explain like this to her? And Madhu Dvisa Prabhuji said, like, I think, like, she's over. Like, would you like to talk? But Prabhupada said, it's okay. And then when Prabhupada was leaving the temple and getting into the car, and he said, she's saying that no one should bow down because everybody is God. So then God is there in me also. And why is she scolding? Like, why is she yelling? She's saying God is in everybody. So maybe God is, like, then God should be in me also. Why is she, why is she talking like that? Then Prabhupada, that new girl, if you remember, when Prabhupada came to Seattle, that new Mataji Joy Fulcher. So she was very confused after hearing this. She was in very confusion, like whether she can completely surrender to Prabhupada. In that, After her confusion, when Prabhupada was leaving, she just touched Prabhupada's feet, and Prabhupada let her do that. And when Prabhupada was getting into the van, Prabhupada bumped his head onto the roof of the van, and everybody was angry, like, you know, because of this girl, all this thing happened, and Prabhupada also hit his head. And so now, after the van started moving, Naranarayana, the Prabhuji was also there, and the van drove. So then this new girl, Joy Fulcher, she was very good in art. So they thought, she's confused, so we should engage her in something. And then they took her to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada asked, like, you know, what kind of girl is she who sees every man as God? He was referring to the troublesome girl who has blasphemed at the initiation. And so Prabhupada was asking, like, how can she see every man as God? And then Govindadasi Mataji just came at that time. And all I knew was that, Govindadasi Mataji was also there. And this joyful share Mataji was hearing to Srila Prabhupada. And then she thought, like, that minute, like, he is going to be my spiritual matter, no matter what it is, spiritual master, no matter what it is, she thought. And then she accepted. So she left outside. And then they sent her back again, because they sent her for a purpose. Like, they wanted her to do the art. But then the other conversation happened, and she couldn't talk about that. And finally, when they took her back inside, Prabhupada asked, like, what can she paint? And actually, Prabhupada was, when she was sitting in the room, Prabhupada was nicely explaining to her how beautiful Krishna is, and how long his hair is, how beautiful his eyes is. And she was just looking at Srila Prabhupada. Though she cannot see Krishna, she was thinking, like, she totally could understand how Krishna looks like, the way Prabhupada was explaining. And then she just got so engrossed in that conversation, she just totally forgot why she came. And then when she was sent back, she explained the purpose. So Prabhupada asked her, ordered her to paint a Panchatattva painting. Now, so days were going on, and also Prabhupada now took an opportunity, any opportunity to meet newcomers, disciples, Prabhupada was not even wasting. Like, he's just talking, explaining, suggesting, and teaching them. So Naranarayan Prabhu says, one of the most deeply impressive things that happened to me for the very first time I sat alone with Srila Prabhupada was, in the San Francisco before, like he had been with Srila Prabhupada even in San Francisco, but there were other people, and because he was a newcomer, he sat alone with Srila Prabhupada, and he was very fearful because he didn't know what to do. I was a little spaced out from, he did a lot of, he was thinking about his karmic activities, and then he was just thinking like, I was going to explode like a jack in the box, and I watched Srila Prabhupada opening letters, and Prabhupada opened all the envelopes, saved the papers, not wasting them, because he thought he can write on the backside a little later. And then he asked him to get something. So he asked Naranara and Prabhuji to get something from his desk. And when he was getting, Prabhupada says that, do you see an ant? And actually, he didn't see anything. But then again, he pointed and he said, do you see this little ant? And he said, yes, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, we should think that our goal should be how to make that ant Krishna consciousness. And he thought like, he was just blown away. And he said, we should go to this ant and we should lean down. And the Prabhupada said, we should chant the Maha Mantra and we should give a little bit prasadam if we can do. And our whole movement will be successful. Like, then he thought like, Naranara and Prabhu was very, very impressed by the statement, because he thought Srila Prabhupada always had big schemes for a big world ISKCON. But yet in his heart was always lined with these small things, like he's considering even these small things. So he's very, very impressed. And Govinda Dasi and her husband have been secretaries for Prabhupada for a year. But Govinda Dasi Mataji's husband was sent to, I don't remember, some other where. Yeah, actually, they have been with him from West Coast to Boston to Montreal to Santa Fe. They're always been with them, but helping him to spread Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada sent Govinda Dasi's husband, Gauri Sundar, a letter before coming to Seattle, and he asked him to go to Hawaii. So Gaur Sundar Prabhu is in Hawaii, and now Govinda Dasi Mataji is in Seattle with Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said to Govinda Dasi Mataji that she has to join her husband. And then she was feeling very, very sad because she didn't want to leave Srila Prabhupada, and she was cooking chapatis. And she says that if Prabhupada would say, looking at our chapatis or peanuts or doing a drawing, kirtan or anything, if he says very nice and smiled and nodded his head, she was saying, she always would feel like, she says, that's our life ambition was achieved when Prabhupada does that. And she's so attached to Srila Prabhupada. She doesn't want to leave him, and she knows very soon she has to go to her husband. And she started crying and crying and crying. And one of his last evenings in Seattle, Prabhupada gave a lecture at the temple as usual. And then he returned to the apartment, and the devotees gave him nice hot milk and prepared for rest. But suddenly Prabhupada came back to the room, and it was very unusual. He doesn't do that. They offered obeisances with great anticipation, and his mood was very, very grave. He was looking very grave. He sat on the Vyasasana and asked them to sit. And he had his servant adjust the tape recorder, and Prabhupada started singing and playing the harmonium. And devotees were puzzled. For about 30 minutes, he sang a beautiful bhajan, Vande Hum prayers. And Prabhupada said, I just received one telegram from India. The person who gave me sannyas initiation left his body. Prabhupada continued to talk, and he said, one has to accept renounced order of life from another person who is renounced. I never thought that I will accept renounced order in my family life when I was amidst my wife and children. Sometimes I was dreaming that my spiritual master was calling me and I was following him. And my dream was over. I was thinking, I was a little horrified. My Guru Maharaj wants me to become a sannyasi. How can I accept sannyas? At that time, I was not feeling very much like, he was not feeling satisfied that the thought that he has to give a family and become a mendicant. At that time, he was thinking, no, I cannot take sannyas. But it was saying that, talking all this, Prabhupada's voice choked and he couldn't speak. Everyone saw tears were pouring in his eyes, and then he spoke further. He said, Prabhupada was talking about his sannyas guru. He said, I have not lost anything. Actually, he was saying, when I left, everybody was thinking like, I lost my children, I left my family, but now see, I have got 300 children. So in material conception is like that, but I have not lost anything. And he thought like, and he was explaining further, like when we accept Krishna, nobody is a loser. And he said, like, I'm saying from my practical experience. And he said, one time I was sitting in Vrindavan writing books. So my god brother, he insisted me, Bhaktivedanta Prabhu, this title was given to you. Like it was offered to me. Prabhupada was saying Bhaktivedanta Prabhu was offered to me by my Vaishnava society. And this god brother of mine insisted me. He said, you have to take sannyas diksha. He insisted. He said, my spiritual master insisted through him. That's what he said. Prabhupada was saying, through my god brother, that I should accept sannyas. So he forced me to this god brother, like, you have to accept sannyas and you have to go to Western countries. So I was feeling very obliged to this god brother of mine, that he carried out the wish of my spiritual master and forced me to accept this sannyas order. So this god brother, he was none other than Keshav, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj. He entered Krishna's abode. So he was explaining to all these his disciples about his sannyas guru, his guru. So he spoke a lot about his guru, and then he has composed the verse in Sanskrit, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. He composed a song, he started singing, and he said that Aapyayam Ma Manivishya Mandam Sri Keshava Bhakti Pragnanam. He wrote Andam means one who is blind, who cannot see this future. The spiritual life is the brightest future, but the material life cannot see. So he composed a verse. And he said to everybody that my god brother's name is Keshava, Bhakti Pragnana Keshava, Kripa Buddhi. So he did this favor upon me because he was ocean of mercy. So we offer our obeisances to Vaishnava Kripa Buddhi. And he said, I'm offering my respectful obeisances unto his holiness because he forcibly made me adopt this sannyas order. So he's no more in this world. He enters Krishna's abode. And I remember on that sannyas day when there was a reception, and he said, he was remembering his sannyas diksha, and he wrote, that they all wrote a letter addressing in India to the disciples of Keshav Maharaj. So they all signed, Prabhupada signed, they all wrote. This all, what did they write? This all that we undersigned members and devotees of International Society of Krishna Consciousness in a meeting under the presidency of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami today, 21st October 1986 at our Seattle branch, express our profound bereavement on hearing the passing away of His Divine Grace Om Vishnu Pada Shri Srimad Bhakti Pragnana Keshav Goswami Maharaj, the Sannyas Guru, the scepter of our spiritual master. And on October 6, 1968 at his headquarters, residence in Navadvipa, West Bengal. We offer our respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of Sri Srimad Keshav Goswami Maharaj with the following verse. Prabhupada wrote a verse, and they mentioned that verse and said, composed on this occasion by our spiritual master. And they all also took pencils and they all signed. So Prabhupada first signed his name and then gave the letter to Kartikeya. He passed it on and they all did. They all signed. And now Prabhupada is about to leave Seattle. Most of the devotees returned to their temples in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and only about half a dozen people were there, remained in the Seattle temple. Now Prabhupada had to go to Montreal for an interview with the US consulate there, accepted as an immigrant in Canada. He was now trying to get a permanent residency in USA. So now he has a plan to go there. And after that, he has a plan to visit New Mexico, Santa Fe, and then go back to Los Angeles. So Govinda Dasi made Prabhupada's favorite food, kachoris, to take on the plane. Prabhupada had taught her how to cook them. So the secret is the kachoris. I remember the first time when I came, made, they became very flat. So Prabhupada taught her how will they puff and how they have to recook in ghee. So all the tips and techniques. So cook them. So Prabhupada said, cook them twice until they become reddish. And she cooked. So Prabhupada ate, tried one, and he wanted one more. And Govinda Dasi said, Prabhupada, you're going to eat them all and you won't have anything for your journey. Prabhupada said, never mind, bring me more. And according to Govinda Dasi Mataji, he ate 8 kachoris. So Janava Dasi, she's the joyful Shir Mataji. So the next day, His Divine Grace, she says, like she's saying, Prabhupada left for Montreal and they asked her to make a garland. So she made it very, like the garland was coming up until his knees and they were very late to the airport. And she made that big long garland on a thin thread and it was late. Prabhupada always likes to go on time and not on time, like he wants to go an hour before. And they got very late and Hansarani Mataji ran out of the apartment and then they said, Prabhupada is angry, he's very furious, so we have to really go very, very fast. Then Kartikeya, Prabhupada's assistant, he came really shaken, followed by His Divine Grace. And instead of garlanding him, Upendra Prabhuji, he bowed down and his hands were shaking and he held the garland above with Prabhupada's head. And then they just put the garland and then they rushed into the van. And so the Bilva Mangala Prabhu, who was driving, he didn't know how to drive. He was going here, there. And Prabhupada asked, who knows how to get to the airport? We all looked at, then they all looked at each other. And because none of them have been to Seattle airport and it was late for the plane, Prabhupada looked like a very sharp, like a razor blade and said, any who knows how, like how to, who knows to drive to airport? And then they said, the way, he was asking who knows the route. So they said, I think this way. And Prabhupada looked seriously and said, think means what? You don't know? And finally there was an entrance on the freeway. So Prabhupada said, I want to stop and I want to go on a taxi. But they said, no, Prabhupada, we can make it, we'll try. And then the Prabhupada asked, where is the yeah, they said we can make it. And then they lowered the window and then they asked somebody the route. And then they said the way. So now they started driving. And of course, because the driver is not a very good driver, he started swaying here, there, friend, back. And Prabhupada was looking very disturbed. And finally, they got to the airport half an hour ahead of the flight. And the devotees were also on the way chanting Tavakara Kamala Vare. And when they came to the airport, the thread broke and the garland broke and Prabhupada quickly took in his arms and then he just started walking back. And then they asked her to put petals. Janava Dasi Mataji, they asked her to throw petals to on Srila Prabhupada's foot. And then she was very doubtful. She was thinking, like, what will the airport people say? What will the airport management say? Is it okay? And then she just clumsily threw the petals because she was distracted by her doubt. So then finally, Prabhupada said, that's all right, no more petals anymore. And then they were all waiting for the flight. So the flight came and then everybody was feeling very sad. And Janavi Devi Mataji, just a 1 month into Krishna consciousness, she herself is feeling very separated and she could, and everybody else was very, very sad. And now Prabhupada went, sat by his window and they asked this Janava Mataji to give Prabhupada the red rose. So Prabhupada took the rose and he went, boarded the flight and from the window. He waved the long stem rose slowly and then he used to duck up, like he ducked out for a while. And again, when he ducked out, they used to be dancing and kirtan and he would come back to the window, wave the rose. So it happened again and again, almost for 5 times, like Prabhupada coming back to the window and they're dancing, Prabhupada coming back, they're dancing. So he would do that and then he left. So now it is October 27, 1968. I think we have 10 minutes. So Prabhupada was traveling all. Now here's something sad happened. Sad for us, but Prabhupada is fine. But we can see how much Prabhupada worked hard for all of us. So what happened? He was by himself. He didn't have any assistant when he was flying to Montreal. And they reached Chicago. Like he reached Chicago and Chicago was very, very busy, lot of television screens and so much crowded. Rush was there, congestion was there, and Prabhupada headed down the long corridor and passersby were just looking at him. And there was a flight of stairs and he started quickly coming down. And when he was coming down, he tripped, he lost balance, and he dropped his bag and fell down several stairs and he couldn't get up. His hand was cut, he felt pain in several places, and then one gentleman came, helped him, and he asked if Prabhupada was all right. Prabhupada thanked him and Prabhupada said, I will be able to proceed by myself. And on the plane for Santa Fe, Prabhupada looked at his hand and it got cut. The bleeding stopped and kind of there's a bruise that was coming. The Prabhupada didn't mind. Prabhupada still okay. And Prabhupada arrived at the Montreal airport and the devotees asked, Swami, in the course of your travels, what difficulties did you encounter? And Prabhupada said, no difficulties. I have no difficulties. And it was because Prabhupada is always depending on Krishna, he didn't see anything as a difficulty. And Prabhupada said, I'm not at all afraid of, no, Prabhupada was remembering Prahalad Maharaj prayers. He says like, oh, best of the great personalities, I'm not afraid of material existence. For whatever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in the thought of your glories and activities. So the reporter had only written, so the reporter took an interview and he has written Hush Puppied High Priest, an article. So a television news team with cameras, lights had come to Seattle Temple to interview Prabhupada. And that night, part of the interview had been television. It has been favorable coverage. A Christian minister, however, Mr. Miller from University of Washington had written in protest of Prabhupada's preaching at university. So this is all the reporter wrote, but Prabhupada had replied that the church had failed to satisfy so many boys and girls. So if some of them were following him and giving up sinful life, why should the Christians protest? They should be glad. So the reporter wrote all this. And then now comes, now Prabhupada is reaching the airport. It's pronounced as Albuquerque. Albuquerque Airport. So Harinam Prabhu was the president of the Santa Fe Temple. Now Prabhupada landed, the reporters took an interview, and Prabhupada, now Harinam Prabhu is receiving, and Govinda Dasi also met Prabhupada, and they greeted him. Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada, Govinda Dasi said, the temple has no money, you can't stay here, you will have to go to Los Angeles. Prabhupada turned to Harinam and, why did you ask me to come here? I just landed and you're saying I should go to Los Angeles. At least I have to stay one night here. How can I go there immediately? And Harinam glanced at Govinda Dasi and then shifted, like he moved his foot because it was paining, and he apologized and explained that the night before he had been bitten by a black widow spider. Prabhuji, Harinam Prabhuji, and Prabhupada asked the question like, why did you call me? And without answering that, he's saying that he was bitten by a bug. So then what are you going to do? I must stay at least in a hotel. And then Govinda Dasi Mataji tried for a reasonable price, and then trying all this, Harinam found Prabhupada seat, and Govinda Dasi, then he said, Govinda Dasi said, you're not feeling well. And Harinam Prabhu said that. Then Prabhupada said, don't worry about my health. I am not a sick man. Govinda Dasi is always sick. I am not sick. And then Govinda Dasi Mataji came back and she began to cry. There's no room. I'm not getting anything for reasonable price. You know Krishna. So you tell us what Krishna wants us to do. And Prabhupada was like, you know, that's angrily said, that's not the point. And Harinam Prabhu was very disgusted and he said, now we have to go to Santa Fe Temple, I think. And then they drove to Santa Fe Temple, and half an hour later, they pulled onto the driveway, and then Prabhupada noticed a handmade sign, Swamiji is coming. Yes. And he said, yes. And he smiled. So then they came through the back door. Prabhupada, escorted by Harinam Prabhu, entered a newly painted room. a rug was there on the floor. There was a wooden table that was an altar. and a crate with a pillow. A crate with a pillow is Prabhupada's seat, and Prabhupada, however, chose to sit on the rug instead of the crate, and devotee guest sat. Prabhupada said, "This is a nice room. I will stay here." Govinda Dasi brought Prabhupada a plate of cut fruits, and Prabhupada opened his bag. There were laddus and kachoris, and he distributed the prasadam, and some new guests really appreciated the prasadam. They said, "This is the best peanut butter I have ever eaten." Eating laddu, he says that. And Prabhupada says that, that is the preparation the mothers make for Krishna, the friends of Krishna, and they take it with their lunch bags. And when they go and play, they put it in their lunch bags, they go and play. So he was explaining, and then they ask, who is Krishna? And Krishna, he says, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is playing with this cowherd boys. And Prabhupada was asked to spend the night in Santa Fe storefront, but the devotees told him that the heater was very loud and he might feel more comfortable staying in the apartment than the front, temple front house. So a recently initiated boy named as Toshana Krishna, they appointed him as Prabhupada's servant. So Prabhupada went into the room. It was very dark. Toshana Krishna replaced the bulb in the ceiling socket. And then there was a mattress, but there was no pillow. Prabhupada made his own desk by setting his books as a suitcase, and a wooden chest, which a devotee built, kept that. So he made a nice sitting place and a table with his books to keep other books. And because Prabhupada wanted to write the purports that night, so he made a desk and he made a table. So he started sitting, and Prabhupada asked, "Do you know how to type?" to Toshana Krishna. He said no, and Toshana Krishna was resting in another room. Prabhupada, that whole night, he was writing the purports of the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then Prabhupada rang the bell and Toshana Krishna came, and Prabhupada said, "It's 4 o'clock, you have to wake up." And Toshana Krishna woke up, and Prabhupada said, "You forgot to offer obeisances." And the boy did like this, and then he offered obeisance, and Prabhupada laughs and said, "That's all right, it is for your practice." And Prabhupada said, "Why did you bring me here, and why do they want to me to leave?" And he said, "Well, Govinda Dasi, Prabhupada smiled and said, "Never listen to a woman." Did she say something? And he said, "Yeah, she was concerned about your health because of the altitude. She talked to some doctor friends and they said this altitude might affect you. And she herself was sick, so she was worried that you will be sick. So she convinced Harinam Prabhu that you should not stay here." So he said, "Govinda Dasi will always be sick. She will be sick even in heaven." And Prabhupada started laughing. So they thought that Swamiji will come here and die. Prabhupada was, gesturing, leaning towards the window and saying that. And Toshana Krishna, it was like cold in the morning, and Prabhupada asked him to switch on all the burners on the stove, and he rubbed his head and started singing the praise of spiritual master. He sang half, and then he asked Toshana Krishna also to sing, and Prabhupada was warming himself with the burners, and then they all went for a morning walk with Toshana Krishna. And he was telling that one's fortune life begins when he meets a devotee. He was telling all this to Toshana Krishna. And that night, about 40 guests came to the temple, a big increase over the usual attendance. And the audience were almost entire young couples, boys and girls. So Prabhupada talked about Radha and Krishna, which seemed to be most fitting to that night audience. And he said, "Radharani is the most beautiful girl and Krishna is the most beautiful boy." He explained that Radha and Krishna are the perfect and conjugal relationship. And when that same conjugal relationship is exhibited by the conditioned souls, it is only a perverted reflection. After the lecture, Prabhupada nicely spoke to, casually spoke to the guest, and an elderly woman introduced herself as the head of Albuquerque's yoga club and invited Prabhupada to come there and speak. Prabhupada said like he would be happy to come and talk. Turning towards Harinam, he said like, "We should go there, they have invited." But Harinam Prabhuji said that they have already have another engagement for you in Los Angeles, so you have to leave there, Srila Prabhupada, Harinam said that. So Prabhupada ended his short stay in Santa Fe after only a day. After that, he moved to Los Angeles. So his next journey we will be seeing in the next chapter. So thank you all so much. Sorry if I confused or spoke anything wrong, but thank you all so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Such a beautiful class. You're such a nice speaker. You spoke from your heart. The past tense we were able to visualize what Prabhupada went through. Yeah, it was. I felt bad when Prabhupada tripped and fell. And I like the idea of double fried kachoris. And also, his interaction generally with all the devotees. They actually cared for him. The advice he gave to everybody. Everything was very, very nice, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful presentation. You speak always from your heart, and when we listen to you, it goes straight in. So thank you so much, Padma Sakhi Mata.
Thank you, Mataji.
Jai Padma Sakhi Mataji ki. What a wonderful class, Mataji, as usual. Your parikramas, your Leelamrita sessions, your classes, awesome, Mataji. In between, your singing bhajan is also so sweet, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for coming on the call and giving this beautiful summary. Especially, I like the conversation between Fulshed Mataji and Srila Prabhupada. Those are very sweet pastimes, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. I see Vidita Gandharvika Mataji raise her hand. Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Padma Sakhi Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. What a beautiful class, Mataji. As Priti Vilasni Mataji and Shyam Sitya Mataji were saying, it's so beautiful. The way you narrated, we could see the whole picture in front of us. Thank you, Mataji. I know you're not feeling well, but still you have accepted the request. And you have narrated it so nicely. I like all the pastimes. I like the way that Prabhupada was always adjusting himself, even though it is not convenient. He's saying, okay. Even though disciples themselves were not able to, you know, accept that why they are giving the trouble to Srila Prabhupada. But then Srila Prabhupada was, okay, fine. It's little trouble, but then, okay, I will adjust. And then the way Srila Prabhupada was telling about that, how, you know, that room was like a being in the womb of a mother, and this woman coming outside this material world and enjoying this material world. It's so nice the way Srila Prabhupada connects to everything. So nice, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful, and I really like Govinda Dasi Mataji's pastimes.
She's always sick.
She's always crying and she's always serving, and that is so much mercy, right?
I was also laughing.
Pure devotee or appreciation from pure devotee is both merciful, because, you know, we should be very fortunate to get chastisement also, right? That is also.
I like the Prabhupada says, she's sick even in heaven.
The previous chapter also we saw that, right? You know, she was like so worried that Prabhupada is very sick. And then she, Prabhupada, you know, in turn telling that I'm not the sick, you are the one who is sick. You are covering everything and you are going to. It's so nice. Very beautiful chapter, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hari Bol.
Mataji, we have in chat Lalitani Mataji and Sukhsagari Mataji. Kept some messages. So sweet. And
Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Agrodis to Prabhupada. Beautiful, beautiful narration. I was totally engrossed during your lecture, as well as, what a coincidence, I was frying kachoris for Radha Neelamani and
double frying.
Yeah, double. I always double fry, you know. And that's what Prabhupada said, that, you know, you should double. I was thinking, wow, Mataji is mentioning about kachoris and here I'm making kachoris. Yeah. So thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much for beautiful narration, and especially how Prabhupada, you know, as Meeta Gandharvika Mataji said, that, you know, how he adjusted. And when Prabhupada was saying, yeah, it's okay, I can adjust, I was remembering my Guru Maharaj also, that whenever, you know, it's not that always we would give him the best, but even if something comes up, he'll say, that's okay, I can adjust, I can cooperate. So, yeah, that's the mood of our acharyas that we all should imbibe. Not complaining, but always trying to adjust with the situation. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, and hope you feel better. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Padmasakhi Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Such a wonderful chapter it was, and it was like I thought it was so attentive. I heard every word you spoke because you narrated in such an interesting way. Loved the chapter, Mataji, of course. Definitely, it was so sad to see that Srila Prabhupada had to travel from one place to another. Like, he would just stay a day in a place and then he had to move on to the next location, next location, next location. He was always running around, and he wanted to meet with all the people, especially during the early days. He wanted to preach more and more to everybody. Loved the chapter. It was very nice, Mataji. Loved how you... So probably I'll get the recipe for kachori from you and Kirtida Mataji, who's making it now. This is, yeah, very nice. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mataji, and I hope you feel better. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Dear devotees, anybody would like to share a realization for Mataji's summary today? I see Yashomati Mataji have also posted in the chat, Mataji.
Very, very beautiful narration, Mataji. It's like, you know, you are speaking by heart, and just like a parikrama, how you do. It's very nice, Mataji. Very nice to hear from you. You speak so nicely, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Padma Sakhi Mataji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Kije, Gopinath Kije, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam to your Siddham Vrindavan Dham Yatra Mataji, Siddham Mayapur Dham Yatra, and Shishi Prabhupada Amruta Mataji. Bahut hi achhi tarah dil se aapne present kiya Mataji. Kachuri, I never fry second time, but I will now fry second time.
I also, Mataji, never fried two times. From now, I will do.
Still not master in a kachori, Mataji, because in a Gopinath, those are Brahman initiated, they will cook, and we are helper. Big kitchen for Shishirata Gopinath, not common kitchen, the different kitchen. Brahmachari kitchen is different and Mataji's cooking kitchen is different. But your Mataji, Hari Hari Gauranga, and how much struggle Srila Prabhupada passed, but still at the age of 55, Mataji, we become a tired because of our home work and sometimes office work and taking care of kids and Shishi Laddu Gopal, Shishi Chakranath Baram Sovarani. And at the age of 70, Srila Prabhupada is like jumping one tree to another tree, another country, one country, ek country se dusre country chahte the, aur phir rehne ka nahi thikana tha, khane peene ka nahi, wo khud teach karte the, aur phir bhi haan, ho jayega, adjust ho jayega. So this is our mool, Mataji. So serving Srila Prabhupada, any moment, ye material body to kabhi saath dene wali hi nahi hai. But we, our mood should be to serve Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Srila Radha Gopinath. Hari Hari Gauranga Mataji, bahut acha Srila Prabhupada Amruta aapne explain kiya. Not able to make a notes because doing exercise. But again and again I will hear and send it to in your inbox, Mataji. Koti koti dandavat pranam, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you all so much for encouraging me always.
So, dear devotees, if there are no more realizations, so we can end the call with all your permission. Okay, Mataji, Padmasakhi Mataji, shall we close the call? Mataji. Okay. Vancha kalpata vipyascha kupa sindhu vyayevacha patitana pavane. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Lila Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Lila Prabhupada ki jai,
Srila Prabhupada ki jai,
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you everyone for joining today's class. We'll close it. Ribol.